Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
Sometimes you stall like a car, where the car just stops, but sometimes you stall like an aeroplane and you fall out of the sky.
Ever feel like you should be able to step back and let other people help you run your business, but you're afraid if you do that, things won't be under control? Now, as a result, you procrastinate employing managers, or you micromanage them so much that they get frustrated and you're still working just as hard.
As your business grows, you become more and more removed from day-to-day operations. You see less and less of what's going on and actually why results are the way they are.
When you're doing it all yourself, you're going to know. But if you're relying on other people to do it, then how will you know?
People risk flying blind and often realize too late that they've miscalculated.
You can actually be hurtling towards a cliff and you don't really know it until you're actually on the edge of it, when it becomes so obvious that you don't have enough money or you don't have enough work. And sometimes you get to that point and it's not actually recoverable, when it should have been if you had the right things in place and you could see where you're actually tracking.
Tune into this episode where we outline one powerful strategy that will ensure you could employ good managers, keep control of your business, and create more time and freedom for yourself.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. We will help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button and let's get started. To the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast here. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host, with Phil Smith, my good mate and co-host. How you doing, buddy?
Always good. Ready to roll.
Yeah, man. I'm excited about today because we've got something a bit different. We're going to switch things up a bit today. I'm going to interview your good self. And the reason for that is that Phil actually ran a killer training for our members recently. And I think you'll all find this super, super helpful. And it's going to be helpful if you're a business who really wants to grow. And you know that to do that, you need some help managing your team. And you need to employ managers. But either you've done this and it hasn't quite worked out, or you haven't done it and you know you should have because you fear things getting out of control. Or maybe they did get out of control and things went a bit crazy when you did it. Or maybe you had some managers and you micromanaged them because you were scared that things would get out of control, and that created a lot of frustration for you and your team. And I think the thing is that to grow a great business, to have a good lifestyle, you need great managers to manage things. Otherwise, it's all on you and that's just no fun at all. So let's dig into it, mate. What are we going to be talking about?
Well, basically, we're talking about, again, as you said, as your business grows, you become more and more removed from day-to-day operations. And as a result, you see less and less of what's going on and actually why results are the way they are, whether it's good or bad. Furthermore, you begin to have other roles in your business that are ultimately responsible for the results that you get. So this leads to a shift in the way that you need to manage, and you need to manage by metrics at that point. And so we're talking about this thing called a deliverables meeting, which is all about getting a weekly snapshot of the key metrics in your business and creating accountability for those who are responsible for those results. And running one effectively is really the key to maintaining control as you grow. So it's pretty important.
It is. And there's a lot of stuff you need to do, obviously, to effectively have managers running your business. You've got to employ the right people. You need to set some expectations and KPIs and you know, do some training, all this sort of stuff. And so we're not going to dig into that. We're going to stick into this actually managing the numbers, and it's massively important. So maybe a story, mate. Your turn for a story.
I got a story. Well, hey, look, in the early 1990s, a group of experienced mountaineers, they set out to climb a notoriously difficult peak in the Andes. So they had all the skills, right equipment, and a real strong determination to reach the summit. But there was one crucial mistake. They underestimated the importance of tracking their progress against key metrics. So unlike other teams who were carefully measuring altitude gain, weather patterns, the rate at which they're consuming supplies, this group relied completely on intuition and rough estimates. And they assumed that they were making really good time, had enough resources to reach the top and descend safely, but then disaster struck. So sudden snowstorm swept in, drastically reduced visibility, and without precise altitude records or a clear understanding of remaining food and oxygen, they just had no way of making an informed decision about, you know, whether to push forward or turn back. So some thought they were only about an hour and a bit from the summit, so they thought they were pretty close. Others suspected they had further to go. They debated, but without the right data, it was all guesswork. And by the time they realized the truth, that they were actually ages away from the summit, way further than they expected, they depleted most of their supplies. So storm raged on, and they were forced to spend a whole extra night on the mountain in these terrible conditions. And tragically, two climbers actually died of hypothermia before the rescue team could even reach them. So in contrast, there was another team on the same mountain, and they'd been meticulously tracking all of their progress using altimeters, GPS, rationing. And when the storm hit, they knew exactly where they were, how far they were from the summit, how much time before nightfall, and they made the call to turn back, and they all made it down safely. So what we can learn from this is just that it underscores a fundamental truth, which is Measuring key metrics is not just useful, it's absolutely critical for success and survival. So whether you're climbing a mountain or running a business, relying on intuition alone, it's going to lead to disastrous outcomes. So unless you're tracking your progress, managing your resources, and making data-driven decisions, people risk flying blind and often realize too late that they've miscalculated. So you need to measure what matters and adjust your strategy around that, or otherwise you just can't make informed decisions and you lose control of situations.
And how many people get frustrated when they grow their business and it gets out of control because they're not really tracking how it's going? They're too busy, don't have the system, don't know how to do it. And they're like, oh, well, the team was no good or the managers were no good, where in actual fact the system was broken and there was no chance of success because no one knew how it was going.
And the hard part is often that frustration comes in hindsight because
you
couldn't be frustrated about how it was going because you didn't know how it was going. You only know when things have gone really bad that you've actually been trending down for some time. But because you weren't tracking the right things, you had no idea. So you only actually find out there's a problem when the problem is huge. And so it's a real risk, man. And I think if we can get on top of this, you know, there's a lot to gain as well. So
there is. So when you have managers in place, what are the problems if you don't effectively track the key metrics in your business?
Well, firstly, you're flying blind. So, you know, the really hard thing with this is you just don't know what's going on. So, you know, you might be asking people, how's this going? How's that going? And they're telling you and you're getting a lot of gut feel, but you don't actually know how anything is going. You can't quantify it. You can't, you know, stack it up against anything else. And so honestly, you just don't know what's going on. Second one is there's a real lack of ownership. So if people aren't tracking key metrics, it's really hard for them to take ownership of the results that they are responsible for. And what that ends up with is you being responsible for everything because, you know, end of the day, buck stops with you. It's your business. But when you have these key roles in place, you know, someone who's in charge of pricing, someone who's in charge of bringing in leads and making sales, someone who's in charge of the way things go on site and your job's being executed properly, someone who's in charge of the admin functions in your business, they need to own those results. You know, so again, someone who's in charge of pricing needs to own the way jobs are being priced. But if you're not tracking it, then they can't own it, which means that ultimately it's you that ends up owning it, but you own it again in the past tense. So you only own it when the result occurs. You can't own it during the process and do anything about it. Next one, you get a lack of execution. So again, you might have even put strategy processes in place in your business where you choose projects and things you're going to work on or improve. But what you find is you have this great, you know, chat, even if the chat's with yourself, about what you're going to execute and what you're going to change. But then nothing happens. No one does anything. No steps are actually, you know, taking place towards these projects. They don't happen. You never get the results. Basically, you just end up stalled. So, I mean, your results don't improve. You're just kind of at the whim of the gods. You know, sometimes you have good months, sometimes bad, but you just go round and round the roller coaster of business. And it's
I mean, you can be stalled. And like you said, I think sometimes it's even worse. You can actually be hurtling towards a cliff and you don't really know it until you're actually on the edge of it when it becomes so obvious that you don't have enough money or you don't have enough work.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get to that point and it's not actually recoverable when it should have been if you had the right things in place and you could see where you're actually tracking.
Yeah.
And I guess the difference is, isn't it, when you're doing it all yourself, you're going to know. But if you're relying on other people to do it, then how will you know show you with
And
numbers?
The thing with being stalled is sometimes you stall like a car where the car just stops, but sometimes you stall like an aeroplane and you fall out of the sky. So it's really, really important to avoid this.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Yeah, you like that?
You're quite good at this. Yeah. Opportunities. Get this right. Get some good weekly deliverables, some good weekly metrics. How are things going to go?
Well, you're no longer flying blind to start with. So you can completely see everything that's going on. You have the right metrics in place. And more importantly, you start getting what we call a bird's eye view. So you can see the key metrics and that tells you everything you need to know without having to get right down into the weeds of every little detail that you could. So when you have a really good weekly deliverables meeting, for example, you're going over the key metrics on a macro level so that you get a snapshot of how the business is running and you can dig deeper if you need to. But if you're not doing something like this, what you're going to end up having to do is either have no control because you can see nothing, or you're going to have to go looking at every single little thing, and most things are going to be fine, and you'll probably lose energy and patience before you actually uncover anything that's worth knowing. But when you got the right metrics in place at a macro level, then you get a good snapshot, and if something's out of place, something doesn't look right, you know where to dig deeper, and so you're not wasting time digging into everything.
Just on that, for people who are listening, we're talking about metrics a lot. Can you just give an example of a few metrics so people are really clear on what we're talking about?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, a key metric that you would look at if you were looking at marketing or sales might be like the number of leads that you've generated that week, or the number of sales appointments that you've booked, or, you know, the number of jobs that have converted from those sales meetings. Those would be ones for marketing and sales. If you're looking at, you know, pricing, it might be, you know, that all jobs are priced to your target GP, and you might have different target GPs for different work types. And so you can track whether the jobs are actually being priced to the level you want. It might be, you know, the time for a quote to get out might be a key metric. So you might decide that when we get commissioned a job to price, that we want the, you know, the bid or the quote to be out within 2 days. So again, you track that. So it's an amount of time, or the amount of time for follow-up. If you're looking at operations, you know, working at stuff on the tools, is what GP do we actually achieve on the jobs? So pricing priced it. Operations has to execute it. So, you know, they're responsible for different sides of that coin. Could be labor utilization as a percentage. You know, it could be number of callbacks. And if you're looking at admin, it could be, you know, things like your AR percentage, so accounts receivable. So what percentage of our revenue is an overdue AR? It could be a dollar figure. It could be invoicing time, so all invoices are sent within X amount of time. But these are key statistics that are measurable that you can, you know, absolutely measure so that you know whether or not you achieved the target you set. That's really what we're looking for.
Yeah, perfect. And other opportunities?
People have nowhere to hide. So when you run something like a deliverables meeting, you know, you've got your people, your key people that are responsible for the key results that have to get up in front of their peers and present those results. And as a result, they have nowhere to hide. So, you know, they can't, you know, come to you and say, hey, this is going well. It's like, well, what does that mean? Like, what are the numbers? Or, hey, I feel like this is going a bit off track. It's like, what does that mean? Does that mean this is in the toilet and we're losing everything? Or does this mean we've got a slight problem that we can, you know, just make a little tweak to? But they have nowhere to hide. They, you know, you can see how everything's tracking in terms of results and project execution, and therefore people have to take ownership. And then you'll find that they actually start to, you know, take that ownership and take stuff off your plate, and stuff happens and results happen without it being you that makes it happen. And so that's, you know, results, but it's also projects. So, like we said, those projects that you put in place to improve your business, you know, if people have within your key team members, if they have steps in those projects they're responsible for, and you're talking about this in your deliverables meeting, then things actually get done. And so you actually move forward. And really, I mean, a culmination of all of that is your business is full steam ahead. I mean, you're executing projects, the business is improving, you're achieving results, and all of this is happening because of the department heads that you have, or those key roles, not in spite of them. And so it's not you that's driving all the results, it's your team. And that's really where you get massive leverage and pour rocket fuel on the fire of your business, really, which is great.
It's kind of like driving a car, isn't it? You've got a dashboard of indicators that you can look at as the business owner, which your department heads are responsible for bringing to you. And so you kind of know if everything's on track or not, which means you don't have to understand everything that's going on in the business. You don't have to know how the engine works. You just know that actually something, it's going well or it's not. And if it's not, you can start doing some investigation. So it really takes a load off and allows you to sleep at night knowing that things are under control.
Yeah, cool. So for me, there's really five key principles you need to understand in order to get this right. So the first one is you need to decide what's important. So not every metric or statistic is important, and you can't get lost in the weeds with this. You know, if you think about, I heard a story about some sailors back in the day, and basically this young fella comes out, and he's you know, they're a bit lost at sea, and they're trying to find land, and dude's measuring, you know, like the height of the waves and how many fish he's seen that day, and, you know, what's the wind speed and all this kind of stuff. And then old head comes along and just gives him a compass and says, hey man, all you really need to know is that we're staying in the right direction and how far we've gone every day. If we just keep track of that, we're going to hit land eventually. And, you know, sure enough, they did that and they found land. But the thing is like, when it comes to your business, there are so many statistics that you can get lost in. And if you measure everything, then nothing is really important. So you need to be able to distill your business down to just, you know, a handful of metrics, two or three per function. So for me, four key functions: you've got sales and marketing, which is bringing in the opportunity for work. You've got pricing, which is getting your pricing right. You've got operations, which is getting the job executed on site. And then you've got admin, which is everything that happens in the background. Each one of those four departments has two or three main statistics that matter, and they're pretty similar in every business. Now, each one of those might measure a whole bunch of other statistics personally within their department, but at the strategic level, when they're, you know, showing you the snapshot and your weekly deliverables, you just need two or three stats that are important. everything else is what led to those results. And that way you can focus on the stuff that really matters without getting lost in the details. So that's number one, is decide what's important. Number two, delegate outcomes. This is really, really important. I think a lot of the time when we delegate tasks. So, hey, you go do this, you go do that. You know, think of the example we always talk about with there's two guys walking along in the park. One's digging a hole. The next one comes up behind him and fills the hole. And a bystander comes and says, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, usually there's a third guy working with us and he puts a plant in the hole. And so I dig it. He would put a plant in and the third guy, you know, fills in the dirt. But, you know, he's sick today, so we're just working without him. Now, obviously, that's a real key example of not delegating an outcome. You know, if the outcome was plant the tree, then they would remember that. But if you've just delegated the task, the hard part is one guy's job is dig a hole, another guy's job is fill in the dirt, and they don't really think about the big picture. So it's the same with stuff in your business. Is you want to delegate an outcome so that people can think really laterally and in depth about how they're going to deliver the result they're responsible for. So an example of this is, if I say, you know, hey, Mr. Pricing, you know, what I want you to do is use this pricing calculator every time you price a job. He'll use the pricing calculator, but if he doesn't know what he's trying to achieve, then it's worthless. If I upgrade that to, hey, use this pricing calculator so that you can hit this target margin, let's say 40% on every job of this work type, then he's got a better outcome. He's got an outcome he's looking for, which is 40% price for on the job. If I elevate that again and say, hey, look, mate, you know, I want you to use this pricing calculator to aim for 40% on the job and then liaise with the operations director every week to make sure that what we're pricing is actually realistic for the guys to execute, because the outcome that I want you two to achieve together is that we achieve 40% on the job, not just that you priced 40% on the job. Well, then I end up with 40% GP on my P&L like I wanted. And so it's really giving people that big picture look at the outcome that they're trying to deliver and making them responsible for that, not just the steps involved, is going to make sure that they actually, you know, actually win and not just complete a bunch of tasks. So delegate outcomes and not tasks. Number three is create ownership. So with this, like, really what I'm getting at is that we want them to take ownership, like we said earlier. And if you want them to take ownership, you can't go around wiping their bum for them. So the easiest way to create ownership in a meeting like a deliverables meeting, and we'll get into the agenda shortly, but really what you want them to do is that you want them to fill in their own stats. So you're going to have a stats sheet where, you know, you're keeping track of these metrics. They should put the metrics in, not you. Next thing is, when you go through those metrics in the meeting, they should read them out, not you. And they'll be right there up on a screen or in front of everybody. And so everyone can read it, but they need to say it out loud. And then lastly is, when the other department heads are asking questions about them, hey, why did this go off track? Hey, what can we do about this? They need to answer the questions. Don't jump in and answer for them. They need to own this, own their outcomes and own their responsibilities. So when they have to write in the numbers and they have to say them out loud to their peers and they have to answer all the questions and be in the hot seat, it's very, very hard for them to not start taking a lot of ownership over making sure that this is all going to go well, and that I'm not going to be presenting bad results every week. And so they're going to start inherently being more motivated to actually deliver on the results and outcomes that you've given them, which
that's
huge.
That's massive. That transparency drives massive accountability. And if they know, like you said, they have to present and collate and discuss, then they're going to think about and do research before the meeting on why things haven't gone well or what they have gone well and what they need to do about it before they even get to the meeting, because nobody wants to feel silly or like they aren't competent in front of their peers. It's a very, very powerful way of creating accountability. So it's made a huge difference for our members, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we do this with our members and like the accountability squads we run and things. It's, you know, it's huge. Reading out your own numbers to a group of your peers, there's no better way to motivate you to improve those numbers, let alone actioning tasks. So that's massive. Number four, quantity, not quality. So when you're trying to put a meeting like this in place or a process like this in place, there's a real tendency to wait until you got it perfect before you try. And so that's aiming for quality. Whereas the best way to get something right is just to do it a lot. And so it's quantity. So I think about, there's a study I really love about kids making paper mache bowls. And they had two groups. One had to make as many bowls as they can in an hour. The other group had to make the perfect bowl in an hour. And the group that just made more bowls made way better bowl by the end. And the reason is because they had a chance to iterate and try stuff and improve. Whereas the other group just spent an entire hour really agonizing on making one bowl. So they learned nothing. And so I think if you're worried about getting this process in place, just start. Your first one won't be your best one. That's fine. You'll get better every time. But if you start now, you'll be awesome in a month. If you take a month trying to get it awesome, it'll still be your worst one when you do it first. So just get started. And the last one is stay high level. So I think about this with cricket, which is a really popular sport here in Australia and New Zealand. It's probably not so known over. It's kind of like our version of baseball. And I know you love cricket, Tony, but you know cricket is the worst for meaningless stats. Like, honestly, they'll say, oh, you know, isn't this amazing? So-and-so got, you know, 30 runs and 59 balls, and it's the first time that's happened on a day where there was a rain delay and Mercury is in retrograde and the person was only this age. And but it's just ridiculous, a pointless stat. And it's the same. You just want to stay high level. So at times in this meeting, you're going to really want to dig into the details, but it's not the place for it. The place for it is in the follow-up that you're going to do after throughout the week between meetings. So you can ask questions, but you don't want to get so deep into the weeds that this meeting takes hours. It's a snapshot that you can act on through the week. And so stay at that higher level, or this meeting could very easily unravel.
Yeah. And so that those key principles are, you know, about putting the deliverables process together. And so that means you need to track these numbers, and your team will put them in the spreadsheet as you were. So that's part of it. And you've alluded to the meeting. So can you talk us through the process then that follows once you've got these numbers? How do you actually implement that with your management team on a consistent basis?
Right. Well, the first thing is they obviously need to know what stats they're responsible for. You need to create a meeting document where all of those stats are going to go in one place. You want a trend. So it's not just this week. It's how's it gone for the last 13 weeks. So look at a running quarter. And every week you're talking about this week, but you can see the trend, and that's really important. Each one of them needs to have a target, so not just a metric, but what was the target for that metric? So if you, let's take leads for the week, if whoever's in charge of generating leads, if you just say, hey, I got 50 leads this week, it's like, well, we don't know, is that good, bad? Like, what was the target? And so it needs to be, the target was 50 leads, we got 48, so we're almost there, or we got 100, so we doubled it, or we got 20, so hey, crap week, you know, so you need a target. Now, once all of that's set up, you invite the right people to the meeting, which, like I said, are the people that are in charge of each of those core functions. So someone who's in charge for marketing and sales, so who's getting us opportunities. Someone who's in charge of pricing, so who's pricing the work or leading the team that's pricing the work. You got someone in charge of operations, so they're the top of the tree of everyone who's in the field. And then you got someone in charge of admin, which is in charge of all the back-end operations. So those four people come, they've got their metrics, they know they're coming, and then you explain to them how the meeting will go. So the agenda itself is very simple. Like, firstly, you have an intro. It's weird to just start, at least say, hey, thanks for coming, guys. That doesn't need to be long. We're talking 30 seconds. Thanks for coming. Let's get into it. And then each department head will take their turn. Now, in their turn, they go through their statistics. So they'll read out each one of their key metrics, you know, in relation to the target. Then they'll say what's going really well in their department. It's really important to start with wins. I think a lot of the time we can just jump straight to the challenges. And you know, I always think about if you have a bad day. You didn't have a bad day. You had a bad 10 minutes, and then now you let it ruin your day. It can be like that in business, and definitely at a departmental level. You've got an issue in your department. It's very easy to lose sight of the fact that everything else is going well. So it's important they start with wins, what's going well. And then any issues or challenges you're having. So that could be that, hey, I'm really struggling to get this stat to target. You know, so again, bringing that up. Or it could be I'm struggling to execute on the part of the project that I'm responsible for, bring that up. Could be I have a team member in my department that I'm really struggling with. And so it's just an opportunity to bring up, hey, what are you struggling with in your department? And then once you've gone through all of that, it's everybody else's turn to ask you questions. So, you know, they can ask questions, they can offer advice on your challenge. But the point is you go through your stats, you go through your wins, you go through your issues or challenges, and then everyone else will ask you questions and help you out. So each department head will take a turn going through that process, and then that gives you an opportunity to, you know, collaborate on issues, you know, get ahead, keep accountable for our results. You then go through the projects. So any strategic projects you're working on, business improvement projects, you know, we're putting a QA checklist in place. Cool. So who's doing what to that project? You know, are we on track? And then lastly, any action points. So anything that's come from the meeting that, you know, we need to change or do, you establish those action points, who's responsible for them, and close the meeting. So that's how the deliverables meeting goes. It's every week. So you want that weekly cadence.
And that is really critical. It needs to be every single week. That is without fail, because that's how you keep your finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
It's not good enough to say we're too busy and we can't do it this week, because if you do that, it'll slip. They won't take responsibility for putting the results in. Things will get woolly, and then you'll be 3 weeks deep and you'll be like, where's the cash gone?
Yeah,
that's what happens. So the cadence is absolutely critical.
Yeah, every week, no matter what. So you got to find a time that's going to work for that. Often early on a Monday is good. Just set the week off right, and then that way you can execute throughout the week on any action points.
And it's the most important meeting, so you make that work and other stuff fits around it.
Absolutely. And then really what that leads us to is the follow-through. So after you've had that meeting, it can be a bit of a common thing to just wait for next week's meeting before we discuss anything further, but you don't want to do that. What you want to do is, once you've had that week at the start, that weekly deliverables meeting at the start of the week, you've got the rest of the week to follow up. So if one of your department heads was struggling with something, you can connect with them, partner with them on the problem, see if they need any help or assistance. If someone's struggling getting their part of a project done, it's like, again, partner with them, help them out, see if they need assistance, give them any guidance or pointers. If someone had great wins, go and congratulate them after the meeting, like really follow up and just express your gratitude. If somebody seemed a little bit off, like they were flustered or didn't really understand their problems or their numbers, again, this is a really great opportunity for you to realize this person is struggling and they need help. And so again, go and follow up on that. And lastly is when people present their numbers and they present their issues and things like that, trust what they say, but verify it through the rest of the week. So again, it's not about diving into all of the statistics in the entire business, but if someone presents a statistic to you and you think that didn't sound right, that just didn't add up, or hey, this person's saying we got a ton of leads, but we didn't get any jobs and they said the conversion rate was good, so it can't be right, again, you trust what they said, but you verify it. Or they say the reason that something didn't work or the reason we didn't get the result we want is X. Trust what they say, but go and do some digging and find out, is that really what's going on? Do they really understand the problem? Or have they missed something? Is there something that they're maybe hiding, even inadvertently, or burying their head in the sand about? Go and trust and verify. So I think about a quote from Keith Cunningham in The Road Less Stupid I really like, which is, pray to Allah, but still tie up your camel. So it's the same concept. Trust what they say, but verify it after, because they might have missed something.
Yeah, and that's a critical you do, that you don't have to trust and verify everything, because that defeats the whole purpose. The purpose of the meeting is that you've got a good snapshot, so you trust and then you verify intermittently.
Yeah.
And so they don't necessarily know when you're going to do it. You just sort of check in. You might even check their stats sometimes to make sure they're right. It could be that they're fudging them, or it could be they just don't have them right.
Well, we have this from time to time.
Yeah, we do.
In our strategy process. And, sometimes it's as simple as an automation didn't work and the stat pulled through funny. And actually, you need to check this. So it's just the things I would start with if you're going to verify are anything that looked fishy or didn't sound right or didn't add up. Easy place to start verifying. So again, that's why if we stay high level, usually what that'll do is it'll give us a good snapshot, but it also tells us which areas are worth digging deeper into so that you don't have to dig into everything. So where I would start with trust but verify is anything that didn't add up or seem fishy or that someone was flustered about.
Yeah, and you'll get a feel for this. And as you said, Phil, you do it over a 13-week period. You do it over a quarter. So you've got your target and you've got all the other metrics for those weeks. And so if it's out of alignment with that, that's probably a good reason to go and check it out. That'll stand out like nobody.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, what you're doing is you're putting this meeting in place, you're getting the cadence right, and then that way you're getting that regular snapshot, so you feel in control because you know what's going on. You can also tell when the people who are responsible for the key results are struggling, or they need your help, or they seem flustered, or they don't know what they're doing, or they're out of their depth, or when someone's really winning, and you think, man, this person may need some more responsibility, or maybe a pay rise or other opportunities, but you can see all of it. You feel so much more in control, and it's weekly, and most importantly is that the team that are in those roles with you in this meeting, they will begin to really elevate. They will really up their game. They'll take a lot more ownership and accountability. They'll execute like nothing that you've ever seen before, and they start really putting your business on overdrive, which is just awesome. Plus, it's a great opportunity for them, and it makes everything a great place to work. And they'll take that vibe down into their departments, and they'll run their teams better, and they'll give more opportunity to their people. And again, it's monkey see, monkey do. Like if you're managing this well with them, they'll take that down into their departments and they'll create ownership with their people, and you actually just strengthen the organization the whole way down. So really it's as your business gets to a bigger point, this is one of the most key strategies. And again, it's not always the sexiest. It's a meeting, but it's just such an important cog in the wheel of your business. Like you have to get this right. So important.
And the thing is, if you've tried this before and it hasn't worked, this is the missing piece. Do this. if you're thinking about wanting to grow your business, but you're actually scared about doing it because you're like, how are you going to keep control? This is how you do it.
Yeah.
It's incredibly powerful when you put it in place. And I think you're so right about how it builds a great culture, because it's a culture of accountability, but also of ownership and taking responsibility.
And of winning.
Of winning. That's right. Yeah. That's critical.
Because no one wants to be on a losing team.
Yeah. And so you have to keep score to know if you're winning. Winning is just so important for culture.
Yeah. It's massive. So, yeah, let's land this plane. Basically, mate, you can build a business where you rely on your management team to do the heavy lifting when you create a weekly deliverable system that pushes accountability to your leaders. So not only is it going to make your life easier, but your managers will love the responsibility. So I'll do your line, mate. Thanks heaps for listening, and we'll see you all again next time.
Happy days.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
When the economy struggles and work dries up, lots of businesses tighten up, panic, and hope to ride it out and get overwhelmed with the stress of the situation. But there are others who survive and often thrive. Now tune into this episode where we talk through some of the challenges currently facing business owners and how you can set your business up to get through and succeed. Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.